It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
We have a new leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, we got a clubhouse?
Is
it in a tree?
It's a
no
phrase.
Girls allowed. No girls allowed.
Key man, women haters club. I always wanted one of those t-shirts with the woman signal and the
R. No ma'am.
No ma'am.
Yes,
no ma'am.
That's Al Bundy's.
Yes, Al no Bundy's. Ma'am. No ma'am. All right, so leader in the clubhouse now is New Jersey field ticket.
This is for the Meadowlands.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so let's just kind of recap yesterday.
Yes.
You tried to get your daughter, Maggie, tickets to Taylor Swift.
Correct.
You were fortunate enough to get on the site, then you realize quickly that they're $400 a piece, and those are like midsection back.
Correct.
Yes.
In a football stadium, not an arena.
Right.
A football stadium.
A bad football stadium at that.
So Sasquatch and I start scouring the internet looking for aftermarket tickets for you.
Because this is the kind of in-depth journalism we do.
That's what we do. Because you care about Maggie and her needs.
That's exactly why we did that.
That was what we did too.
Came out wrong. So we found a pair of tickets, not even in the first section, but the second section back on the floor, and we found two of them for $90,000. You're saying that's been
before fees.
Before fees.
Okay.
So you're saying that's been.
Okay. No, that's now laughable.
Oh.
That's so cute.
Oh my god.
That's so So for a pair of tickets on the field.
Yes.
In New Jersey.
At MetLife Stadium.
Will cost you $150,000.
Oh my gosh.
The price of a small home off Taylor Boulevard.
Does it come with you can get a home smaller less than that.
You haven't checked house prices.
$150,000?
You haven't checked house prices.
Yeah, but the Taylor Swift taxes don't come due twice a year.
But wait a minute. Yeah, right. but it may come with a t-shirt or a package or something.
Crazy thing.
That would sell it, right?
That's a crazy thing.
That's what they have to do in some states. Because in Missouri, I remember in 2005 when Louisville was in the Final Four. Missouri had a I think they still do. They have a scalping law where you can't sell it above face value.
Yeah.
So you'd have to buy a $50,000 t-shirt and it came with two free tickets to the Final Four.
Yeah, or a pencil or.
Here's the thing. Even if no one pays $75,000 a piece for these tickets, even let's say that they've set this price and it was a fake price. Even if someone pays $15,000 for them, they go down 70-something percent, it's still $15,000 a ticket. It's still, let me phrase it for you, stupid. I don't care if you have $1 billion. That is a dumb price to pay for concert tickets.
What is the face value for a field ticket?
Oh,
got through on Ticketmaster.
Well, we don't know because Tony was halfway back on a football stadium, was $400.
So field tickets had to be $2,000, $3,000,
something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even at $15,000 a ticket, you're still turning a big profit.
Huge.
So Sasquatch and I had the idea. How often does she tour? Once a year?
If that.
No, the last time she toured was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
She just dropped a new album with 19 songs on it. She writes all her own stuff. She sells her own music. She doesn't have to deal with record companies and all that.
So what Squatch and I are going to do is camp out for two different concerts a year and just sell them $45,000 a piece. That's a good salary.
Yeah,
it's more than my salary here.
I mean, we spend 5 hours in the cold, and then we don't work the rest of the year.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I said that to her. I said, I wish we'd just go back to the old days. She goes, what were the old days? I said, they would go on sale, and I would drive you and your friend out to Freedom Hall about 2 days early.
Yep.
Maybe a day and a half, and I would drop you off. My sisters did it. They would drive out to either Louisville Gardens or Freedom Hall, and they would stay there for a day and a half.
Yeah.
We'd bring them food, all that kind of stuff. And they would sit out, and when the tickets went on sale, that was it. You were in line. You were 10th in line. That was it.
And then if you wanted floor tickets after you camped out to get them, you had to camp out again if you wanted to actually be close to the stage.
It's crazy.
I used to do that all the time. That's how I wound up front row at Stevie Ray Vaughan, Thunderbirds, and Greg Allman.
I camped out.
Yeah, I camped out.
Like
I was
a
first
psychopath.
In line.
I mean, fan.
Thank you.
I mean, it paid off for him.
Sounds a whole lot better.
In the snow. My favorite story was in the snow in St. Louis.
No, it was the last show.
Springsteen, right?
Of the North American tour. Me and my buddy Ken Bramer We were out on the sidewalk in December in Indianapolis.
Is that my Trinity, Ken Bramer?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
Me and Ken Bramer spent 3 days out in the cold in Indianapolis in late December to be one of the first ones in for the Springsteen show.
You know, some people would just call that being homeless. Okay. Right?
So those tickets they were waiting for was the, they rope off a section and they call it for the weirdos. Mm-hmm. And the weirdos go in there because they're just waiting for Springsteen to sweat, to spray onto them.
Because you know what it is.
Holy water.
You know how, remember when we used to have that thing where they gave us what our ideal listener looked like?
Yeah.
When they would market that, it was just a picture of Dwight.
Yes, right.
Okay, so yes. Two bands I used to follow on tour. One was the Stones, the other one was Springsteen.
Yeah.
And I did it religiously.
Yeah.
But my wife, Susan, went with me on several shows. And I remember
it was mainly just to bail him out. But
yeah, I sang on his mic at Rupp Arena. He gave me the mic. But anyway, one of the shows she was with, and he came over, he slapped five, and he was bouncing his head, singing. He walked away, and there was a puddle of sweat there.
No.
She looked at me, and she says,
"Don't,
please don't." I say, "I put my hand in it."
Saw that coming.
You licked it too, didn't you?
No, I didn't lick it. I said, look, there's Springsteen sweat. I want to tell you the story
so sad.
I can't tell you the George Jones story. That's
please don't.
That's not fit for
Move on, please.
What bodily fluid did he excrete?
I got to tell you this off the air.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's that bad.
All right. Our very own Mitch McConnell kept in power, even though everyone. Here's the great thing about Mitch. Whether you love him or hate him, Mitch McConnell has one thing. He keeps quiet until he has to say something.
And then when he says something, he says,
I'm sorry, Senator. I'm sorry, Leader. Please, could you please say that again?
Constituents of the
Commonwealth of
Kentucky. Thank you, Senator McConnell.
You know it was a big day because he smiled for the first time this decade.
I wonder if I'm going to get whacked because of that.
Okay, so people, I know a lot of people don't get the CJ. I know a lot of people are under,
what's the CJ?
Under 45 or 50. But there's a good article in there. And, okay, who was going to replace him that wanted to replace him was Rick Scott. Do we remember
Florida
who
man.
Rick Scott is?
Great Scott!
Do you remember who Rick Scott is?
No, I don't.
Rick Scott used to run the HCA insurance, Columbia HVA or HCA Columbia insurance here in Louisville. Remember they did, they pulled the Baltimore Colts in the middle of the night, picked up out of Louisville and moved to Nashville. All of the jobs and big money jobs went to Nashville. That was Rick Scott.
The Baltimore Colts?
That was Rick Scott.
No, he's saying he did Baltimore Colts move.
He did a Baltimore Colts move.
Yeah, the famous move of the Colts. Where in the middle of the night you see the trucks moving.
No, I know.
So in the middle of the night, Rick Scott moved Columbia HCA to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And part of that, I know that part of the story because I have a relative that was involved with all that. But they moved to Nashville. So the article in the CJ today was basically like a Louisville guy, Mitch McConnell, gets at least a little payback for, no, not so fast, Rick Scott. You're not going to be majority leader.
Dun, dun,
so,
dun.
One from Florida should ever be in charge of anything.
So, Columbia HCA Hospitals. And by the way, when Rick Scott was involved, am I wrong with this, that they were ripping off Medicare?
Right? I don't know. I don't know anything about the story.
Oh, okay.
I only vaguely remember that happening now that you've said it.
I'm what my wife calls when we're out in public and someone asks me a political question or something.
Yes.
She goes, no, he's blissfully stupid. And I say, thank you, honey. And they stop asking me questions. It works.
There could be a panic. I don't know if Starbucks in Louisville are going to participate
in this.
There's
one of them doing it.
Which
doing
one?
What?
Which one?
It's out on Factory Lane by the truck plant.
Okay. All right, good. It's not anything nowhere near St. Matthew's. Starbucks.
Is that on Walmart's website?
What is that?
It's a new shirt I'm going to get. You can't say what it says on the air.
Okay.
But I'm ordering it right now. I'm ordering it right now. Classic fit, large, add to cart, and purchase. Okay, I'm sorry.
We all know how he's going to get fired. We just don't know when.
Right.
I've already mentally prepared myself for that. One of these days, I'm going to come in. There's going to be an email. Dwight's name will be in the subject line. I won't even have to open it.
More than 2,000 Starbucks workers are planning a one-day strike at more than 100 locations across the nation.
What? Including one here.
For what?
The day was strategically picked because this is the Red Cup Day. Right?
It's when their stupid holiday cup comes
Red
in.
Starbucks, Solo Cup?
Yeah, Starbucks gives away a reusable holiday cup with certain drink purchases, and that happens today. So they're trying to cause some trouble. Normally, I would say if you're going to take a break for a day, most businesses don't care. But at Starbucks, if you don't get people their Starbucks.
So they're striking today?
No, but and here's the kicker, yes. Only from 7 to 10. So the strike is over in like 45 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is not very effective, guys. Came up with a 7 to 10 plan?
Hey, we're going to send a message. From 8 till 8:15. We're not going to wait on anybody.
So, and at least the Louisville location, because our partners at WLKY went out to check out this little performance. It's basically three hippies with a bullhorn, and people are still going into the Starbucks. Yeah. So it's not really accomplishing
anything.
Work.
All right.
Well, wait, speaking of Christmas,
yeah.
Barstool Sports.
They're on your side.
They're on your side. They want to know when the debate, when should you officially start playing Christmas music?
No, Black Friday. No earlier.
Okay, let's see what they say.
All year long for Christmas.
Through the survey.
And you would be wrong.
Some stations start like at the end of October, right after Halloween, bam, they launch it.
Yeah, the stations that do that are losers.
There's losers,
their
right?
Their ratings are gigantic, so you two are out.
Your butt's out.
I'm just saying that the ratings, they wouldn't do it. My butt is not out. It's too cold.
I had to go back to kindergarten to pull that one out, but it still works today.
Go outside and press some cold ham.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the survey says that any station that puts it on before December 1st is an absolute sin. Well, I agree with that. Wait until December, man.
All right. You don't hold the radio Bible for what music is going to be played, right? Second of all, everyone knows that Black Friday is the beginning of Christmas season, so that's in November. So stop it.
But Black Friday is like a week away from
but
December.
This is even better than my plan. Because my plan was Black Friday, and then noon on Christmas, you cut it off. But now I like this better. We start on December 1st, and then noon on Christmas. So I'm only going to have to deal with 24 and a half days of that stupid stuff.
That's right.
Now, I do have a caveat with my Christmas music listening habits.
Oh, what would that be?
I don't like any of the new Christmas music. I like all of the Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra.
I don't even
Sinatra.
Like those. I will do the traditional hymns. So there's like four Christmas songs I tolerate.
And that's it?
Yeah.
What about Rod Stewart with singing the Christmas standards?
No, you know what
we should do?
Yeah.
You know, you want to get everybody in line over at Metro Corrections? Just tell them, look, until you all get your act together, we're playing that stupid Wham song on an endless loop.
Well, okay, but look, some modern ones are all right, like a Lennon's So This Is Christmas.
No,
you don't think so?
No.
Wasn't that start with Merry Christmas, John? Merry Christmas, Yono.
So this is Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Yoda.
No, it's not, that Muppet doesn't do anything for me.
No, not doing it. All right, so Starbucks, you're going to be okay with that.
That strike is over in now 42 minutes.
Okay, I can't use this story in the next break because you're not here, Will. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I want you to calm yourself before you hear this story.
This is going to be very upsetting.
Sitting right next to him, dude.
Okay, no. It might turn you on.
Again, I'm sitting right next to him.
I'm a little concerned, but proceed.
Texas woman sets world record for biggest feet. I know your Sasquatchian likes for women are big feet.
I love her.
Her foot measures 13 inches long.
Wait a minute.
That's a lot of piggies going to market, baby. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, I mean, I could be a record holder?
No, you're not a female.
No, this is women. She's 6'9". I know you're quivering right now. Her name is Tanya Herbert.
Okay, I gotta look her up.
Ebert. If you live in Louisville, it's Ebert.
Oh, she live here?
No. Okay. She's Texas.
Where'd
Texas
she go to high school?
I don't know.
How you spell her last name? I got Harding.
Her size shoe is 18. Hebert?
Yeah.
H-E-R-B-E-R-T. If you live in Louisville, it's Ebert.
So it's basically me with a wig, because I'm 6'8 and 17.
Right. Tanya Hebert.
Correct.
Feet. Yeah, so it's basically me with a wig.
Oh, poor girl.
She's got a built like a pyramid.
Well,
I was hoping like upside down pyramid or regular pyramid?
No, like a regular pyramid.
Poor girl.
See?
Here's the thing. Poor girl.
She kind of looks like Grimace.
What?
Yeah, she's that purple shirt.
She's wearing purple. On, she looks like Grimace, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Hamburglar's her neighbor.
But it was 50-50. I thought she could have been like this big, tall Amazon woman, you know?
Somebody for everybody. All right. Her issue is poor girl, has one foot is bigger than the other.
Oh,
so
no.
One foot is 12 inches, does the other foot is 13 inches.
Does she walk in circles?
Everything is a left turn.
Hey, lefty.
Guinness Book of World Records is recognizing Tanya's feet.
What a wonderful time to be alive.
As the biggest feet.
So I think the Guinness World Record book has, if there was ever any doubt, they've now officially jumped the shark. We've run out of good records.
Yeah. I don't know. These are the ones I like. Woman with the biggest feet. That's not what I remember from the early days.
Well, this is also kind of what the Guinness World Record book was there for. It was to settle stupid bar bets. Like, yeah. I bet my foot's bigger than yours.
It's true.
I wonder if everything else is bigger on her.
All right. Well, Sasquatch, have a good day. Oh, wait a minute.
We got joke of the day.
Thank you. We're running really late. So
okay.
I hope it's a short joke.
No, it's not. It's a long one. Here we go. Hey, fellas.
40
hey.
Minutes left of the strike.
The strike might be over when I finish this joke.
Hello, Dwight.
Yes, Dwight.
All right. Three couples decide, hey, we love each other. We're going to get married. One's a young couple. One's a middle-aged couple. One's an elderly couple.
Okay.
So they do what they do. They meet with their minister and they say, hey, we all want to discuss getting married.
Okay.
That's when the priest says, okay, listen, folks, if you want to get married in my church, you're all going to have to go 1 month without sex.
Okay.
So they all agreed, all three couples. They said, if that's what it takes,
that's the rule. That's the rule.
Yeah, rules and regulations.
1 month later, all three couples get together with the priest to meet, and he says, okay, listen, you all, it's been a month. Elderly couple, have you completed a month without sex?
I don't know where this is going. Yes, yes. They said yes.
That's when the elderly couple goes, of course, just look at her. It was no problem whatsoever. That's when...
it seems kind of insulting.
I think he added that part to the joke.
That's when he asked the middle-aged couple, he said, what about you? Have you made it the entire month without sex? He goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, priest. It was a little bit difficult, but we made the month.
Now, here's where the third person is, so this is clearly the punchline.
That's the payoff right here, baby. That's when he asked the young couple, he says, what about you all? Did you make it the month? Husband goes, nope, we made it 2 days. 2 days! He goes, yeah, what happened? Well, my girlfriend had this can of corn, and she actually dropped it. And when she bent over, wow, that's when it happened. That's when the priest goes, well, you're no longer welcome in my church. Guy says, I'm no longer welcome in the supermarket either.
That is your joke of the day, all November right. 17th, a proper day to play Christmas music.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Up in smoke, baby. Hey, do you know the benefits of CBD? If you don't, get on the Google machine. You're going to be amazed. My wife and I got on CBD about 5 years ago, thanks to the crew at Up in Smoke. They are the experts. They have been in the CBD game since day number one. That's right. They can guide you, direct you for which CBD is right for you. They even have different brands and different delivery methods. They've got it all. Check them out online at Up, the letter N, smokeonline.com. Second favorite comedian to me, George Wallace. First would be Alex Raimundo, founder of Number One Kisser. Tequila.
You know, because Alex is listening. That's not what you say in the breaks.
Well, when Alex is out of town, George Wallace becomes my favorite comedian.
Who's the other guy that went to Doss that was with us at the golf scramble? What was his name? Your buddy?
Oh, Austin Baker.
Yeah, you said Austin Baker was your favorite.
Well, that's when Austin Baker's in the studio. He's my favorite. I wish I would have pulled George straight. They call me fireman because I've got one of my dear friends in here, Jordan. He is a fireman. Hey, Jordan, how you doing?
Good morning. How's it going? Good.
It's going great. We were chatting the other day.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Yotis. Don't mess
it
up.
It's a badass name.
It is.
Radio, Jordan, you must do.
There's only a couple of us.
My name is Chief Yotis. What's up?
What's up? That was my dad's name.
Oh.
Fun fact, yeah.
Radio, you must do.
What made you follow your dad's footsteps?
Yeah, so he retired from Butchel after just about 40 years.
40 years? Yeah, 40 years. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You're eligible at 20, right?
20-something.
Well, now it's 25.
But still.
Yeah.
So he just he's passionate going, about serving, and he just loved it?
Yep, now he's got two new hips and two new shoulders. So.
What about you? You've been in 14 years.
14.
You gonna punch out an 11?
I don't know. Depends on the day.
Okay, we've done a lot of cool stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
Known him for years, but dear friends.
Louisville firefighter.
Anchorage, Middletown.
But a firefighter. And one of the things we've done is you and me and Trooper Kerry Halls sat in a car with the windows up and no air conditioning at August, like, 17th or something. And we just sat there and sweated until the last one couldn't take it anymore. But it was all to demonstrate how quickly that can take over an infant or anybody locked into a car.
It's awful. Yeah.
But firemen, they have to be prepared for everything, firemen and women, and you can find out if you have what it takes to go down this career path this weekend, right?
Yeah, so tomorrow and Saturday at our headquarters on Erton Lane, Anchorage Middletown Station 1, we'll be having a CPAT practice session, which is the candidate physical agility test. That's the first test you have to take to advance through the process. So we'll be holding that tomorrow and Saturday from 9 to 12.
How rigorous is that? I mean,
yeah. How tough is that physical test?
The test is designed not to be completely impossible. The test is designed to test you at certain levels. You're on a Stairmaster for a certain amount of time with a 70-pound weighted vest on. Then it becomes a 50-pound weight vest, and you're simulating different exercises or jobs that we would do on a fire scene.
Yeah, so you would actually do, yeah.
Yes, getting tools off of a truck, pulling ladders, pulling hose, crawling on your knees, things of that nature. So it's really to see, are you going to be able to do the basics of the job?
I pulled my hose this morning.
I bet.
But I want to talk about when I first got out of high school, I wanted to do that. That was the career path I wanted. I wanted to become a firefighter. Shocker, I didn't make it past the written test. But one of the things you had to do, I think it was 70 pounds of hose that you had to run up. There was like a training facility. I went out to the training facility. It was a tower. It was really cool. But you had to take that 70-pound or whatever were hose all the way up. Do you still do that?
So ours now is a little different.
Okay.
We have our own tower at Anchorage Middletown. But this test specifically, this is the first one that you have to do nationally across the board to even move along in the hiring process.
Okay, let's dive into the job here, because that's what really people are thinking of. And right now, people that are listening to us they're disenchanted with their own jobs. They're bored at their jobs. They're tired of the corporate world. So I say this because one of my best friends from high school didn't become a Louisville firefighter until he was 41 years old.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. Seriously?
Now he's ripped. He's always been ripped. But he did not. I saw him at the gym and I said, "What's going on? What are you doing?" He said, I'm going to become a fireman. And I was like, "Dude, we're 40." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to try." He's done it for now almost 13, 14 years and he loves his job. So I say this to say this isn't for someone just out of high school or college.
This is for anybody.
I didn't know that.
For anybody that wants to change their job and do something because you're in the middle of it. I mean, you get that adrenaline sort of pump when you're, you know, not everything is running in and saving somebody's life. There's a lot of standing around and putting out fires for hours. But man, it's still a difficult, fun job to do, right? And the camaraderie has to be over the top.
That's what draws people in, I think, is the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. It really is a second family. You know, we say that all the time. It's as cliche as it sounds, but I mean, we meet people from all walks of life that have been bankers for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We have an abundance of people that were teachers for years, and suddenly we're like, one day, this ain't for me anymore.
Right.
And they totally flip and come to a totally different world. I mean, we've got police officers who have made the switch and vice versa. I mean, we saw a huge turn of that within the last couple of years. People just making the switch and coming over to the fireside. Most people are set on the schedule. You know, we work 24-hour shifts and we're off for 48. That allows guys and girls to do side jobs in their off days, coaching. Yep. We have realtors. We have people that are obsessed with CrossFit. They have their own gym. You name it. People do it on their off days, and you can't beat the schedule.
That's where I was going as well, because the schedule is something else. Now it's difficult work. It's dangerous work, but at the same time, bodybuilder and Louisville firefighter Porter Cottrell actually became a fireman because he wanted to have that schedule so he could train.
Yeah,
but I mean, so
all 24 off 48 for at least for Anchorage, right? Middletown.
Yep. I think the same way with Louisville. It appeared to be, but that was very beneficial. And he was, I mean, big time man on a cover of every single magazine. But he couldn't have done that without being on the fire department.
And the firemen here in this town and most towns are like the Navy. The food is good.
We do eat very well.
That's an interesting little twist. The kitchens in these places are pretty damn. You could run a restaurant.
Yeah, you could. The joke in the service is all the world's problems are solved at the Firehouse Kitchen table. They are literally.
Yeah, is that right?
But you can go to any Kroger in this area.
Yes.
And there's going to be a fire truck out front.
Guaranteed. You're right.
Absolutely. Guaranteed.
We got to eat. Everybody always says, "Are y'all cooking chili?" We actually do cook more than chili, just for the record.
So in the interview process, is it advantageous for people to say, "I can cook"?
Probably not in the beginning. It won't get them very far, but the further along they get, absolutely.
Right, something just dawned on me that I guess is new from when I graduated to what it is now.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Right. Right. But you have to do this first. You have to do this physical agility test first before you even take the written test?
Yeah, so this...
That makes sense. That makes tremendous sense.
A lot of places years ago, it was the opposite. And as the world changed, we saw that people were making it through the first written test process, but then weren't making it through the physical test. So this, for most people, this is the most difficult part. People see the test and they think, oh, there's not much to it. I can pass it. They get halfway through it. And they're like, holy cow, this is way more than I thought it was going to be. So this way it allows us to really find out for sure if they're going to make it. Because once you get through all this, you've got 6 months of fire training that you've got to go through. That's, you know, Monday through Friday for 8 hours a day. You're doing a multitude of physical activity. You're studying, you're reading. You're basically going to school / an intense, like an academy for the Army for six months.
Okay, let's, as we recap this entire conversation, where do I go tomorrow if they're listening to this and going, you know what, I am a teacher or I am doing this other job. I want to become a fireman at Anchorage Middletown. What do I do?
Stop by and see us at our headquarters, 108 Erton Lane, right in the heart of Middletown. Tomorrow and Saturday from 9 p.m. till 12, the physical course is set up. You can practice and run it and see how you do. And hopefully, if you do well, apply for our next drill school, which is set to start in July of 23. We've got 30 recruits in right now that are at the training academy doing their training. They're at about the 8 week mark. Okay. So they're slowly trucking along, but we'll start the process here soon to get the folks ready for the next class.
I got to ask you this question. Have you ever been in where the building's burning and there's a lady up on the fifth floor and you had to grab that big white circle with the red dot in the middle and say, jump?
That was about a million years ago, probably when you were my age. So.
Yes. But you know, they train good cops. Cops say it's not when to pull the trigger. It's when not to pull the trigger.
Right.
It's when not to run in. Rather than run in.
Right. Building. I mean, we want people that are dedicated, that are willing, obviously, to put their life for someone else. And our draw with the younger population is folks that are graduating high school that maybe don't want to go to college or don't want to go to the military. This is a way for you to get a secure job and a pretty stable income right out of high school. I mean, once you graduate, you're looking at $51,000 a year once you've graduated and completed the drill school.
So Not to mention a pension.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, for the younger set, and again, I was pushing the older guys that want to go in, but the younger set, everyone nowadays, I tell my own kids this, be part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go work for a corporation, that doesn't exist.
Right.
So a fireman, a policeman, those are establishments that are bigger than yourself. You're part of something else. The camaraderie we talked about being with your guys and gals of the fire department.
Everybody loves firemen. I mean, let's just face it. You two do. I mean, that's the thing.
And ladies.
Yeah, they love the calendars.
Yeah.
Are you on a calendar?
I'm not on a calendar. I'm just mad.
I'm like, look, I'm not going to date her. Her ex-boyfriend was a fireman. He has an axe in his truck.
Of course he does.
But the other thing to note is there's no college requirement. All we require is a GED or a high school diploma.
Wow.
Yeah. We do all the training in-house, which is unique to Jefferson County. There's only one or two other departments in our area, with the exception of Louisville Fire, that do our own in-house training, train our own people while you're getting paid Monday through Friday to come to work to be trained to be a firefighter.
Awesome. Tomorrow and Saturday, find out if you have what it takes to have a spectacular career. Listen, Jordan, time to stop being nice to each other and going back to ornery texts with each other, okay?
Right. Thanks for having us. Please share those, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for the time, brother, okay?
All right, man, ForeverLawnKentuckyAnna.com. If you're looking for the closest thing to real grass, but it's not, and you never have to deal with it, if you want to be the laziest dad ever and have the perfect lawn, this is the way to go. ForeverLawnKentuckyAnna.com. That's right. Lazy dads, I got you covered. ForeverLawnKentuckyAnna.com. Never cut your grass, never water it, never feed it. It'll look like a golf course every single day at your home, your business, or your school. ForeverLawnKentuckiana.com. Back after this.
Oh, hot dog! Some Zeppelin hot dog there. Only song I could think of to do this story to, Tony.
This is the kind of song in the 1980s where the car would go around the mayor's house and come back around spinning.
Yeah, no.
And then the cops would follow.
With their Billy sticks out?
Yes, yes.
Billy Vance, what do you call them? Well, I wanted to play something regarding hot dogs, and Led Zeppelin's hot dog seemed like the perfect choice for this story. Move over Costco. There's a new game in town. I didn't know this, but evidently for years, Costco has had a quick lunch deal for their members. For $1.50, you get a hot dog and a soda.
It's unbelievable.
It's pretty hard to beat, right?
And a hot dog is not some small...
It's not?
No, it's a Tony Vannetti size.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
It's a huge... It's a meal. It is a meal, and the bun matches the dog. So, the wiener. So, the bun matches the wiener, and it is huge, and you get the soda, too. It's like...
You never want to put a wiener that's too big into a small bun.
No, never.
No.
No. That's not recommended.
You
want to
make sure the bun's in the wiener.
It's not one doctor that will recommend that.
Of course not.
So, if you look over while we're shopping at Costco, that whole area is full of people eating lunch.
I mean, it's really quite brilliant. It's just like Todd King at TK's Pub used to have free hot wings on Monday night for Monday Night Football.
Yep.
Brilliant, because people come in, there's only so many wings you can eat, but boy,
it
makes that beer go down really good. But look out, Costco, guy by the name of Doug McMillon, he's the CEO of Walmart. He just announced a bombshell. He said during third quarter earnings, they decided moving forward that Sam's Club... Let's see, in Walmart, no, it's just Sam's Club.
They're going to try to match it.
No, they're going to beat it. Sam's Club is going to have a lunch offering where you get a hot dog and a soda for $1.38.
Man.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah. I guess because you either join one or the other.
I think my sister-in-law, Kathy, is members of both.
That's a little silly.
Is it? Maybe there's some products that
get. She's married to a doctor, so I guess she's...
Doctor
whatever.
Scott Young. It was a bad day for a woman that was returning. I'm sorry, did I step on you?
No. I was just going to say, I don't know why you would join both. They're both basically the same thing.
Are they?
I've got to admit to you, there are some advantages, but sometimes when I'm checking out and it's $210 and I'm like, did I need the 30-pack of whatever?
Honey, did we need a 55-gallon drum of macaroni and cheese? Well, that's not a good example. Yeah. Did we need a 55-gallon drum of apples?
I just want 5 pens. No, they come in packs of 50. Well, I just want 5.
Right. No.
Sir, you're at Costco.
Yes. It is a bit ridiculous. And the size of, like, the can of corn is like the size of a...
I don't care how much you like pancakes. You don't need a 2-gallon thing of syrup.
Of course. Of course not.
Of syrup.
It was a bad day for a woman coming back from the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic. She was stopped by custom officials when they saw that her wheelchair wheels, they weren't spinning properly.
I wonder.
Boy, I got to tell you. The cartel, you just got to keep looking for new ways and new ways. An x-ray showed that inside the tires of the wheelchair, there were tubes of cocaine. I mean, it really
great,
is,
great
right?
job. Great job. I saw the one where they found you know how extensions are huge now? And for hair.
So oh, my gosh.
They had tubes of cocaine stuck in the hair. But when she went through some whatever device, they said, let's check out your do.
Susan and I just started watching a thing called Dope on Netflix, and it goes through... One of them goes through the cocaine being processed all the way from Colombia, and it shows it going all the way through the states where it's distributed. It's really interesting.
Fascinating how it works.
It really is, but they start talking to the DEA agents, and they say, look, you know, the cartels, they're constantly reinventing things, so we got to keep on our toes. This is one of them. Inside the wheelchair wheels, they found tubes of cocaine weighing in around 28 pounds.
Okay, for example.
Okay.
If you want to buy certain items now at Target or Kroger, you can't because of supply chain issues, okay? Like cat food. There's still cat food, and you're like, how does that work? Like, I have a nose spray that it's very specific to what I use. You can't find it anywhere. So, but here's the difference. With drugs, name the drug, cocaine,
fentanyl,
marijuana, yeah, pills. If you want to find that, it's available all over the city 24 hours a day. Flip that to, I'm trying to find cat food.
Right. No. Well, okay, so
the system for bringing and distributing drugs is much better than the system distributing cat food.
So here's something that's very convenient for me is Dr. Rusty Gaylor put Lemmy on a limited ingredient diet because of his one of many.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's allergic.
Your dog.
He's a peanut allergy.
Oh, my God. Your dog.
He's a peanut
allergy. Now he's on a special diet.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if there were ever a dog to buy an extended warranty on, he would have been it, but he was a rescue dog. So anyway, he got put on the special diet.
I always punch the person that introduced me and Jackie together in the face when I see him.
Do you?
Every time. I go, and I'm like, he goes, wah! And I was like, that's what introduced me to my wife.
No, you just, from this point forward, you just go, you know. So, anyway, right, it's really affordable when you have special diets, too. But so we go to Feeder's Pet Supply, and we get his canned food and a dry food. The canned food's to do his pills in, his many pills that he takes. He's got two things of pills. He's got a morning pill jar or box and a PM one. Wow. I'm dead serious.
I know. And the reason the person contacted you to adopt this child is because they knew your bleeding heart liberal.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Welfare Angie, ass Dwight Whitten.
Angie Fitton.
That literally she heard the sound ding in her brain and said, the only person for this dog is Dwight Whitten.
Oh, Lemmy dog, if you're listening, I love you. But same thing with his canned dog food. They said, oh, no, we can't get this because of supply chain issues. But it was Feeder's Pet Supply. So they said, look, here's a great alternative. They had something else. But that, it's like that with canned foods for some reason.
Yeah. Right, right. Yes. I don't understand the supply chain.
Well, if you play pickleball, and my sister-in-law, Kathy Tyler Young, does. She does.
There's a huge league at the J.
Listen. My sister-in-law, Kathy Tyler Young, plays it, and every time I see her, I say, listen, a woman your age should not be doing things like this.
You can't play pickleball at, like, 80.
Can you? I don't know.
Because it is literally just a gigantic version of ping pong.
Okay, what is it? Do you know what it is? Because
it's
still
half
to this day
of a basketball court sideways.
Okay.
You have a 2-foot net in the middle. You have a gigantic, let's say, a ping pong paddle. It's about 4 times the size of a ping pong paddle, and the ball is plastic, so it goes bank. So when it bounces, though, so it's bank, and you get 4 people can play, so you don't have to cover. You can stand there.
Is it the size of a tennis ball, maybe? Or
yeah, I guess I've never played, so I always
every time my sister-in-law tries to explain it to me, my eyes glaze over, and you know the rest. Yeah. But anyway, if you do play pickleball, there's a dark side of it, evidently, because now the pickleball injuries are starting to show up, according to according to Sports and Fitness Industry Association. There's been a huge spike in pickleball-related injuries. Well, predominantly, the injuries are to the arms, legs, lower legs, muscle strains, and lower back. They said if you want to prevent getting injured in pickleball, make sure you do some stretching beforehand.
Pickleball looks like a blast. It really does. And it's fastest growing sport in America besides girls football. I get it. It's for the older set. So when you have to give up tennis, so when your wife is a high level, Susan is not just a legislator now.
No, she's a.
She's not just an energy expert for CED. She also is a high level tennis player, very competitive. She's competitive in every aspect of her life, except for husband.
All right. No,
it's like she was so competitive about everything except that category.
Look, I know what I look like. And I know what she looks like.
Yeah.
And there's no reason she should be with me.
Oh, she's smoking hot.
There is no no reasonable explanation for her to be with me. And I remember one time I said, hey, honey, I don't understand. Why weren't you with all these other guys, you know, coming up? And she goes, well, I was extremely picky. And I went, you were?
That's what I remember of Susan.
She was extremely picky. You were? Then how'd you end up with me?
I mean, I thought the toast at your wedding of, hey, we don't get it, but we support it.
That was accurate, though. Yeah, she did latch on to me when I was playing ice hockey, though, so at least I said, somewhat in shape.
I do remember.
But then I let it go.
Her cubicle was next to yours.
Yes.
And she would walk away to go to another room or whatever she was doing in the building, mm-hmm. and I would say, look at her, and you would say, yeah?
Yeah.
See, look at you.
With a big, fat Kodiak dip in my mouth and a Mountain Dew bottle gripped.
Now look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at you.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Mm, somebody did well in the breakup, and somebody did not.
Well, one group of people that probably won't be playing pickleball would be the goth people. I think they just, where they stare at your shoes. What do goth people do? Just wear black?
Goth wears black. Everything's black. Even their underwear is black, and they stare at their shoes, and they don't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas is stupid.
They say things like that.
Everything is stupid.
You know what's stupid is your face is stupid. We're goth.
Well, Christmas, if you're wondering what.
But if you invite them to any popular group, they're like, I'm in.
I'm in.
Wait a minute. What about our goth group? Forget you guys. I got invited.
I couldn't be goth because I love staying out in the sun too much. You got to be like porcelain skin, right?
Yeah, you got to be. Yeah, exactly. But you look like a vampire.
Yeah.
And you read books in the coffee shop in the Highlands.
Hey, want to come over and watch The Crow? No, we watched it last week. I know. That's all we do is watch The Crow here.
And shockingly, those, what are those boots? The boots that were big in the 90s, early 90s.
Combat boots?
Yeah, the combat boots, but they were a certain...
I know what you're talking about.
All the rock stars used to wear them. It's got a name. Damn it!
Boy, it sucks getting old. People are yelling at the radios right now.
They are like combat boots, but they're the designer set. They're still, that's still big.
There's like
with that, 4 inches of...
Right, and there's like 500 eyes that you have to thread. With, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you do have someone, if you do have someone special in your life that happens to be goth, and you're saying, what can I possibly get Andy or whoever it might be for Christmas? Well, fortunately, Target online store now has a goth section. Once you go to Target online, you find the goth section. I went there this morning, and you're going to find trends that are inspired, like boots, jewelry, makeup, even furniture. They had clothing, accessories. Most is all in black. They got some weird stuff on here, too.
I'm not going to judge. I had parachute pants and Capizio shoes. I can't judge.
But here's the thing. Target, you're trying to capture some of the goth market.
Yeah, it's big.
Good on you. I'm looking at black.
It's big.
I'm looking at black lipstick right now. But look at the models they used on the goth club.
They're not goth people.
They're smiling.
Goth. Yeah, they're good looking.
She's got, you know, blonde
hair.
Goth
people are not.
No.
But there's a huge market. Hence.
Yes.
The biggest concert in Louisville and in the country is?
Louder Than Life.
Louder Than Life. What kind of music is that? What kind of people go to that?
Good music. Good people.
People that stare at their shoes and wear black all the time.
So, also on here, it looks like you can get a Ouija board. What's it called? Vegetables and cheese on a tray. What's it called?
Crudité.
Yeah, crudité. Cucurucci tray. But it's shaped
charcuterie.
Like a Ouija board. Charcuterie. There's two different charcuterie boards. One is shaped in a... coffin with the edges.
Oh, fantastic.
And the other one is shaped as a Ouija board and has all this crap on it.
The problem with that is there is an expiration date for that kind of dress. At some point, you can't wear goth to work.
Or can you?
I don't know.
Hey, I'll tell you who's never going to... What did I miss? I'm sorry. I thought I heard
something. You're good.
Hey, listen. Southern Comfort Hot Tubs. If you've ever wanted a hot tub, this is the week, baby. Now through Saturday, every single spa tub, every single sauna and massage chair is 50% off. How about that? 50% off, and it gets better. You get 50% off a hot tub, and you get 12 months same as cash. Susan and I, we've had a Southern Comfort hot tub as long as we've been married. We just recently upgraded it. It was still running. We just wanted a new one with more bells and whistles. That's what we got.
How cool is the steam coming off the water on a cold night?
I was in it last night. Susan's out of town, but I threw on the lights, threw on the Pink Floyd, got in there. Boy, slept like a baby. If you don't know the benefits of a hot tub, especially if you have fibromyalgia, or how you pronounce it, rheumatoid arthritis.
Skin issues.
Go ahead and Google the health benefits of a hot tub and then get to 7501 Preston Highway, 50% off now through Saturday.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
guest. You can hear him every morning on 790 WKRD. It's Nick Coffey, one of my favorite sports journalists.
Not Nick Coffey. We got who? We got Nick Roush from KSR is on. Nick.
Not
hey, Nick.
Damn it, Dwight, that was good. I got to give it to you. That was good. You really got me there.
It's my buddy Nick Roush. What's going on? I guess you would be the assistant mayor of the South End, maybe, to me?
No. You are the reigning... Nick is the reigning mayor of the South End. You lost fair and square. Just admit it. I know you and your Republicans hate it when you lose and you say it was fixed, but that's not true.
It was fixed. The fix was in. Hey, Nick, how you doing, brother?
We're doing great, doing great. Just had baby number two at the Roush House. Last month.
So you're getting plenty of rest at the Roush House.
Yeah.
Yes. Football season, basketball season, newborn, just so much free time on my hands.
All right, what's the name of the second one? We know the first one was Duke.
We have Duke, Frank. Duke and Frank. So somebody said that the next baby Roush will be Heinz because we name all of our kids after condiments.
That's true. Okay, I'm going to give you credit, but then smack you a little bit because preseason, you warned about something with UK football and didn't say it loud enough. But I think there are three words that can sum up UK's problem with football this year, and that's the big blue wall, right? You warned and said, we're going to take a step back this year. I read some of your stuff and I saw some of your stuff online for podcasts, but you weren't vocal enough to say, okay, Will Levis is going to get sacked 40 times and he's going to be injured most of the season because you flat out the big blue wall isn't what they used to be, correct?
Well, and part of it was like, you knew that they were going to be worse and there was some uncertainty with the play caller. But after, 7 years or so, you were going to give them the benefit of the doubt, especially considering the fact that, like, they had some quality pieces to add to the puzzle. The problem is they just never were put together correctly on that offensive line. It just hasn't worked. And then once that snowball gets rolling downhill, it's hard to stop it. Football is a game of momentum, and when they lost that game at Ole Miss, they don't commit a stupid penalty that wipes away a touchdown. The season changed. The season changed. Momentum got going in the wrong direction. They lost to South Carolina the following week. And it just hasn't been the same ever since. Things go sour quickly. But once they get rolling, like, you look like an indomitable force. And Louisville fans can attest to this right now. They were DOA after that Boston College loss. They were done. But now things have changed. You win four or five games in a row, you start creating turnovers, and now all of a sudden you feel really good about your program. Things happen quickly in the sport of football, and right now it looks like there's going to be just a lot of changes this offseason for the Kentucky Wildcats. And I know for the fans, a lot of this season already feels lost. You can at least feel a little bit better about it if you end the season with a win next Saturday over Louisville. But if you don't, then it's just, I'm afraid of how lucky it could get.
Well, listen, the only reason I'm going to say this is because my wife, Susan Tyler Whitten, is out of town in Chicago, so I'll say it. But taking on Georgia, I don't think there's any chance that you beat the Bulldogs. But let's go ahead and talk about the injuries and the sacks. Do you sit Levis against Georgia? Because, what's the point, right? Or do you?
I agree with that.
See, and that's where they're in a tricky situation because you can't just – like, what kind of message is that send your team if you're waving the white flag?
He's injured, though.
He's
injured, though. I don't understand. They do this all the time. They should have came out after the game and said, he's too hurt to play next week. We're going to start whoever. And by the way, who is that would play?
Well, see, and that's the fun part because it's Kaya Sharon, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got this freshman who many thought was going to be, like, immediately moved to receiver. He's just an awesome athlete who was Mr. Football in Tennessee last year.
Yep.
So I'd kind of want to see Destin Wade out there running around if they do that. Really what it could come down to, though, is like, all right, we're going to trot Will out there, and first hit, we'll say he got an injury, and then we're sidelining him. But I don't know if you can just wave the white flag right away.
I hear that, but the kid has been playing through foot. What is it? Finger, foot, shoulder, correct?
Yes, yes. In some order and varying degrees.
Okay, but yeah. Again, it's 2022. Kids sit out bowl games all day long. This isn't 1968 and got to do one for the team. I get he wants to play and all that, but as the coach, and let me tell you, as a Louisville fan, I hope he plays against Georgia because there's no possible way you block Georgia's front four. No way in hell. Those linebackers are going to run free. Okay, against Levis. So if he play, I hope he plays because it makes it better situation for Louisville and Kentucky the following week, Thanksgiving weekend at your place.
Well, does it matter if he never has to throw the ball and you just hand it off a bunch? I mean,
well, that's true.
Joey Gatewood made it an 11-point game. Like you're just going to run, try to get out of there. But really, like it is. We are in a weird spot. Like, you lose to Vanderbilt, a team who ranks 125th in three out of the four statistical categories on defense. One of the worst defenses in football. You have 100 passing yards and 21 points, and one of those touchdowns had to come from the longest career rush of your all-time running back's career. Chris Rodriguez moving to third on UK's all-time rushing list. That was the longest touchdown run of his career. And that's what it took to score points against a terrible defense. The offense has been anemic, and as much as you want to blame the offensive line, like it's from the top down. You know, like it's on everybody. It's been a disaster, and how they get it back on track this offseason, I don't know which direction they go, but it's going to be in a new one. It's got to.
Overall, what is that, 6-4? Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Essentially 6-4. Okay. Or no.
So
yeah. So you're either 7-5 or 6-6.
Okay. So it's basically everybody at 500 gets a bowl anymore, right?
Sure.
So they're correct. Going.
Yeah, win six games.
They're probably going, right?
Oh yeah, they're bowling.
Oh yeah,
okay. Yeah, they're bowling. Yeah,
and it could be a very sad bowl game, Dwight.
Well, listen, I'm going to be lugged there. I just hope it's warm weather. My wife lugs me to these bowl games.
Well, yeah.
Here is Dwight. I know that you have that wonkhead co-host of yours that's going to tell you that Scott Satterfield is actually a good coach now. But here is why you can't fall for it. Because, Dwight, if Kentucky beats Louisville, there's a chance you could go to Vegas. And Kentucky could be the first team to ever play in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Hey.
And for selfish reasons, it's also like 2 weeks before Christmas. So you don't even have to – like you still get the whole week in between Christmas and New Year's to just – do nothing at home instead of traveling to God knows where to watch the bowl game.
Beautiful.
All right. Let's move to basketball. We've got about 2 minutes here. Try to sum up. Look, UK has not done well the last two seasons. They had 9 wins 2 seasons ago, and then they had a good season last year, but then faltered in the NCAA tournament to a whatever team St. Peter's is. So, 2 years in a row, not so good. You've reloaded. You got the National Player of the Year. The hype is there. In reality, will this translate to the floor, and will Kentucky be a Elite Eight Final Four team at the end because they're ranked fourth?
Only if Calipari is willing to make some personal concessions. Because what it comes down to is he has a really good team, but the problem is that he goes back to his same old stuff. Like in his dream world, he has a Derrick Rose, a John Wall, a Brandon Knight. Some stud running the point guard that when in doubt, he can just go score. He'll have that next year with DJ Wagner, by the way. Not at Louisville. DJ Wagner going to Kentucky.
Yeah,
just wanted
that.
To remind everybody.
We know that. Thank you.
But Xavier Wheeler can be really good, but in late game possessions, when it's crunch time, they're just like leaning on him to force up some contested prayer with 8 seconds left. It cost him a game at Michigan State. Kentucky fans got a lot of deja vu from that St. Peter's game. So the reality is, yes, they can be good enough if he can figure out how to properly use the parts that he has. Because he's got a lot of good ones. One thing to keep an eye on that I'm going to keep an eye on all season two, you saw it in that Michigan State game. It was the first game with Oscar Tshiebwe. A lot of the offense just turned into, we just got to force feed Oscar. You got to balance it out.
Right.
Like, you have other good players, too.
That's right.
He's National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But that's something I'm keeping my eye on throughout
the rest. Plus he's too nice, too. I mean, when the post player has to be nice or he's never going to get the ball.
Hey.
So, and he's going to go turn to the basket and go. So, again, yes or no, is Kentucky an Elite Eight Final Four team? Answer the question, please.
Yes. Okay, that was a hiccup. They got time to figure it out. Okay,
and Nick, I'm sorry, we've got to go, but I was had to step away from the studio for a second. Where is DJ Wagner going?
All right, shut up. You know what? You think that hurt us? You know what hurt us was 20 what? Years ago when his damn son went to Memphis? That hurt worse.
Memphis, Tennessee.
So that hurt worse than DJ.
Peepaw Mill doesn't have a control over his family.
No.
It's real shame.
He does. That's why they got the son got paid to go play with Calipari in Memphis, and then DJ doesn't need to get paid. He's already got deals, so it's all legal now. So whatever. But trust me. Yes, the greatest class of all time going to UK next year.
Yep. We're back. And you know what? Have fun in Maui. I'm sure the Cards are going to be all weird.
Yeah. Cards are 0-3, and the rest of the teams that are going to Maui, their record is 18-0. So we're going to have so much fun.
I love the deadpan delivery of Nick Rouse.
Nick Rouse, congratulations on your second kid. And congratulations on naming them normal names like Duke and Frank. Love Frank.
Oh, yeah. Nothing weird out here in the South Side, which, by the way, come see me Sunday. Open house to sale, 12 to 3. I'll be out there.
All right. Great choice. Being a Colt is a great idea. It's a great school. So get on out there. This Sunday, what time at DeSales?
12 to 3 out on Kenwood Drive.
All right.
Come see.
Nick Rouse, see you later, buddy. See you later. All right, a new twist on a wing-eating contest is going to come up next, and we'll tell you how you can raise money for charity. It involves trivia questions and then hot wings that will get hotter as the rounds go along. So we'll tell you how that you can get involved and talk about Canopy. That's a charity in town that I don't know anything about, and we're going to find out more together. All right, folks, for the next couple of minutes, we're going to introduce you to a company called Canopy, what they do, and then a really kind of cool charity event that's going on. And the reason I wanted to have them on the air was because it's something different than a golf scramble or just a regular dinner. This is going to be sort of entertaining. I was asked to be involved in this, but my aunt's going to die that weekend.
She's died six times, and it's only December.
True. That's true.
This year.
Yeah, that's true. So
that's coffee, not it's coffee, not COVID.
Thank you. So let's bring in Adam Watson from Canopy. How are you, Adam?
I'm well. How are you?
You are not just with Canopy. You also do?
I also do a lot of things, but most notably against the Grain Brewery.
Yeah, you and Dwight made friends in the break, I was like, oh, here we go.
The second I figured him out, I said, man, I want to hug you. Listen, against the Grain, just good beer. And recently, and I asked you this, I didn't know, because George Tamering, Rob Moody, and the guys at Bear Nose, they commissioned a 45th anniversary Bear Nose 75 beer. And I had that, and it's a damn good beer. And I asked, not knowing, did they commission you to do that? And they did.
Yeah, they did. You know, we like to do those partnerships. We like to get involved with our community.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of company we are. It's built in the DNA to make sure that we're actually improving the world around us, including other businesses that we may be on paper competing with.
Okay, Canopy, let's get to that real quick. We'll talk about beer later. I want to get to the nuts and bolts of this thing,
which is
Canopy. You two will go for beer all day long.
Hey, damn
an hour
right.
Later,
that's true. We'll do that.
The new raspberry melon beer. All right, here we go. Canopy. Tell me what Canopy does.
So Canopy is a nonprofit that exists to make Kentucky first in good business. And what I mean by that is we exist to help for-profit Kentucky businesses improve the way they do business so that they're taking care of their people, the environment, and the future. And by that, what we mean is helping to crystallize policies, helping to spread culture across the inside of their companies, and helping to turn outward and look into the impact they're having on the world around them so that they take care of not just the shareholders of the
bottom
company,
line.
But all stakeholders.
Give me one policy that you would suggested to the companies that you're talking policy. Give me one.
Sure. I mean, some of them are very simple. As simple as, do you have a policy for infectious disease in your company? Do you have something written down so that if stuff hits the fan, you are prepared and you can actually take care of the people who take care of your business?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So how do you recruit? I would imagine Canopy recruits different businesses because I love the concept. Do you do that or do they come to you? How does this work?
Yeah, so right now it's mostly outreach, but we are hoping we reach sort of a critical mass where companies are reaching out to us out of nowhere. But, you know, a lot of what we do is education. So we go and we talk at chambers of commerce, at universities, at business leader conferences, just to try and tell people about this new way of doing business where you're not just looking out for your bottom line. You are looking out for your bottom line. You have to turn a profit.
Sure.
But you also have to take care of the people and the planet and the future around you. So a lot of what we do is going out and talking about those things and hoping we bring in companies and kind of there's more and more companies that are interested in this way of doing business that think there's more to life than just turning the profit full stop. So, you know, we get businesses from all over. We've got publicly traded companies. We've got businesses as small as single person consulting firms,
yeah,
and everywhere in between, from manufacturing industries,
wow,
to writing, to, you know, all sorts of different industries, all sorts of different sizes. And it's a one size fits all. So you don't have to do anything different. The same platform works for you.
That was my wife's nickname in college. One size fits all. But
yeah. Okay, so this sounds complicated, though, and these companies have to sort of let you in, which is not something that companies like to do, yeah, to open their doors and say, here's how we operate, where do we fail? And that is, companies are like people. They don't want to know how they're failing. They want to know how well they're doing. So when you go into a business and then you break the news to them, hey, your equity policy is not up to standard, sometimes those can be difficult conversations.
Uncomfortable,
yeah, that's,
right?
That's not what it is, though. We aren't going in to try and tell people that they're failing. We're telling people, hey, where are you doing well and where can you do better? So we're going in to celebrate and verify the things that are already going on right. We want to hold up all the cool stuff you're already doing. We've got a lot of case studies in the portal where you go enter all your certification information. So we do case studies where we interview other businesses that are doing really fantastic things in a variety of impact categories, from housing to the opioid epidemic to clean water, all over the place. We find people that are doing cool things. We hold them up for everybody else to look at and take example from. And then we help you kind of guide you along your own path to good business.
Yeah.
So you can start improving the things that you're doing. We're not there to shame anybody or point out something
you're
doing wrong.
I'm 53. I come from the generation of you're failing. I get it. This is a more comfortable.
Can you hire me as vice?
I get it. No, I'm with. I'm on board. Yeah.
Could you hire me as vice president of shaming and I'll go in there and I'll be the bad guy.
Yeah, the salary is zero.
You call this a restroom?
Zero for you, suck guys.
I want to talk about fundraising because this is something spectacular. This is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Tony made the comment of, oh, another golf scramble for a charity. Then that's something to that. But this is a really cool concept, and it's for guys like me.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of our Million Reasons for Good Business campaign where we're trying to raise $1 million over the year that's going to help us to operate,
wow,
for the next 2 years and get the platform. It's launched, but it's going to continue, as any tech thing does, constant maintenance and constant additions.
Sure.
So to raise that money, we're doing a variety of things. But tonight, from 4:30 to 6:30 at 1020 Brewery,
That's a perfect time for old people like that.
It really is, man. Early happy hour.
Get me home just in time for
fantastic.
Matlock.
Yes. Oh.
So we're doing an event. You'll be familiar with some of the principles if you've ever seen the Hot Ones show.
I have not.
Okay, you've seen the YouTube or Twitter video. Well, you're not online.
No.
Well, basically, they have celebrities like Shaq and different actors, and they have to eat hot things like wings or chips, and then they ask them interesting questions about their career, right? Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they try to answer with their head on fire.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, trying to ask you really insightful, interesting questions about your life and your history while your head's on fire.
Okay. And so, their eyes are watering, they're crying, they're sweating, and they're trying to answer questions. Shaq's is an all-time hilarious.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
But I love this idea. So how can people still go to this event?
Yeah. You can go on our website and register, or you can just show up at the time, and that's fine too. So 4:30 to 6:30, we're running through the whole thing, and we'll have a silent auction going over on the side, but the main event is two of our board members, Seema Sheth and Kevin Traeger, are going to be participating in the hot wings. So our founder and CEO, Scott Collins, is going to be leading them through the questions, asking interesting interview
Scott's
questions.
Hilarious, by the way. He'll do perfect at that job.
He will do very well.
Yeah, yes.
And every $500 we raise is going to open up the next hot wing. So they're ranked from 1 to 10. And every $500 we raise, they're going to have to eat another one. So if we don't raise much, then they're not going to eat very much.
Ooh. Well, I want to make sure I got the concept right.
Yep.
So you said every $500 unlocks another hot wing. Here's my interpretation is, we're going to start out medium or mild, and then the next hot wing goes medium, and then maybe hot, and then, is that how it goes?
That's exactly how it goes, yeah.
So how hot are they? Like, give me an example of what we're dealing with tonight, like the hottest.
So the hottest, I think, is pretty incomprehensibly hot at this point. and by the time you get there, you've already built up 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
So you start eating the kind of stuff where if you have more than a drop or two, you got to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to, our expert medical staff,
okay,
I think that's me, I was going to stand nearby with a bucket that you can barf into if you have to. And you know, we're just going to see how lit up these folks get.
Now, are they going to have milk with them? Or because listen,
oh, yeah.
Because certain things...
Provide if you, look, all that stuff.
Look, beer and wings is great, but beer isn't going to cool it down. Water's not... Milk's what gets it, right?
Well, we have asked them, what kind of milk they prefer. Okay. So, you know, we've got the particular 2% that they want. And that is going to be available for them. Although I would disagree with you, I think IPAs are fantastic for dulling heat.
Are you serious? Or are you just
being very serious?
Really? Because beer really. I mean, I usually drink beer with my hot wings.
Yeah,
but it usually lights it up on the really, you know, the hot ones.
IPAs are fantastic.
Okay, then yep. I'll try that.
Yep. Okay, so that event is tonight. Canopy. Is there a reason for the name? What was the how did you come up with, or how you and Scott come up with Canopy?
Yeah, that. So the name is meant to kind of be the overarching. The overarching concept, okay. Something that stands over top of everybody else and helps shelter everything right. That's around. So we're there to kind of help provide the umbrella that's going to cover all businesses and help everybody do a little bit better.
Okay. So I like it. I mean, you're helping local companies treat their employees better and the environment better. I dig it.
Absolutely. No, that's cool. Well, yeah, employees, environment, the communities around you. So it's not just people that are directly involved with your money. It's got to be, you know, people who aren't even at the table are right. Still benefiting from the business you do.
Absolutely.
What's the point of business? It's to make the world a little bit better. So it should help your bottom line, but it should also help your employees, and it should also help your customers, and it should also help the communities in which your business is located, and it should help the planet on which you depend.
Well, let's talk about you personally. Are you a wing eater? Are you a hot wing guy? How hot do you go, man?
I like hot from like the top of my head to about the middle of my neck.
Yeah,
but much
right.
Below that, the heat really starts to cause problems.
Right.
Yeah. Once you get a certain age and it's like, okay, not worth it. We used to do all that stuff all the time.
No,
the
I remember
hot wing stuff.
Tony and I were at a Monday Night Football gig one night and we dared them. You can't make a wing hot enough for
that
us.
That was a mistake.
Sure. That was the night I ate the chicken bone too.
That was a mistake.
That was
the rest of the night with the faucet, my hand like this,
that was horrible.
And the faucet on high.
And
back then on Dixie Highway, Buffalo Wild Wings, that bathroom was not clean. No. So where I'm holding the water gushing through my mouth for about 5 minutes complete pain.
There's been some fantasy football related heat misery in my life. I'm just trying to avoid it.
Now there's a trick to that. I mean, it is a physical thing, but there's a mental thing also with that, right? I mean, isn't it the hotness is fooling your mouth, correct?
I don't know how the biology of it works.
It's not a temperature thing.
It's not temperature. The Scoville units,
right.
It lights up something in you that is meant to avoid eating things like that.
Is the Carolina Reaper still the highest on the Scoville? Or has that been topped?
I'm sure at some point somebody's not even close.
They got these stupid hybrids where they, you know, let's
there's always stupid hybrids. There's farms that specialize in just developing.
Oh my gosh. But these people that are really good at it are, it's just like anything else that people can consume those. You're genetically, DNA wise, you can eat those things and it doesn't affect you like it does you and I.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody's got different thresholds.
Yeah. They get the talent of it. All right. Canopy tonight at Against the Grain, 4:30 to 6:30.
It's at 1020 Brewery.
I'm against the grain,
but
I got you.
We like to play it around.
Yeah,
so we're going out to 1020 Brewery on Washington, and come on by.
All right, sounds good.
Beautiful. Who do we have?
Thank you so much. All right, I've got Edlin and Edlin.
Yeah, baby.
Real estate agent for folks. They only charge 1% commission. That means if you're selling a home for about $500,000, you'll keep $12,000 to $15,000 of equity in your pocket instead of just giving that to a real estate agent. So go to Edlin.com or call them at 599-2800. They'll answer the phone and say, can I help you? And you're going to say, sell my house for 1%, and that's what the deal is. Or you can go to Edlin.com. They have a sliding scale that'll show you how much you're going to keep on the price of your home, and or if you're buying a house, they'll show you the same because there's a price on the left and the right side of the page. Edlin and Edlin, 599-2800. Back after this.
Yeah. It's mine and Susan's first dance right here on our wedding night.
Having my baby.
She was barely showing.
What a lovely way.
Such a beautiful reception.
Her mom was crying.
Yeah. Well,
not because she's a child at this time, but
who she was marrying.
Who she was marrying, correct.
And her mom's never really gotten over it yet. She always says, hey, honey, are you in What's Her Face?
Well,
they didn't call What's His Face, calls me What's Her Face.
We don't have to wait long. After a couple of drinks, it starts to spill out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. I got her in my arms. That's all that counts. Went to Reddit. We love going to Reddit for different topics, and this one looked fun. I Listen, women, my hat's off to you. I don't understand. It'd be so difficult to be a woman, just the pregnancy alone, having to go through that.
That's why they're so much tougher on pain.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, their periods alone every...
I know.
I absolutely... If I can't have... I don't ride rides on the amusement park that are wet because I can't have my underwear wet.
I know.
I can't imagine having to do that 6 or 7 days a week and not wanting to kill everyone around me. I get it. I totally get it.
Plus the pain of childbirth. But let's talk about pregnancy and women. It's this thread is, I'm so pregnant, ... And mothers took to it to go ahead and finish the sentence. One of them says, I'm so pregnant that my belly honked the horn in the daycare parking lot, startling every single other mother around me. That's funny.
We had a sales girl 15 years ago. Pregnant, and she was like that. She was 80 pounds heavier. She was a very pretty girl, but she walked in, sat down in my office, and I said, are you okay? And her ankles was the size of basketballs. And she goes, my blank, and she said the word.
Yeah.
She goes, my blank is completely swollen.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a grapefruit. And just started crying. And I was like, oh, like, you, there's nothing you can say.
Wait, you didn't say, I don't believe you, show me?
No, why God, not? No. Are you kidding? I don't want to see that.
I do.
Oh.
A grapefruit? Yeah. One woman says, I'm so pregnant that I dropped the soap in the shower today, and I just went ahead and finished washing myself with shampoo. Said, forget it. I pee myself every time I bend over to feed the dogs.
Yeah. Because the baby's sitting right on top of your bladder.
I'm so pregnant, I accidentally closed the refrigerator door with my belly when I turn. This is a... I'm so pregnant, if I drop something on the floor, there's a 50-50 chance that I'll get it or leave it there. One woman says, I'm so pregnant that an 89-year-old stroke survivor had to help me tie my shoes because I couldn't bend over all the way. Oh, man.
Let me tell you. If men gave birth,
I couldn't do it.
If men gave birth, all feminine products would be free, and we would never discuss reproductive health care.
No.
Zero.
I'm so pregnant that I go to the bathroom regularly, and even then, I risk projectile peeing through three layers of clothes if I ever sneeze. Oh, this we'll end on this one. This is the last one. I'll do it on, but boy. I'm so pregnant that when I go to the doctor, when I step on the scales, I have to step on backwards so I can fit.
Yeah.
How about because that?
Because when is the right. scale? The scale is always next to the wall.
Of course it
so
is.
So now when you're pregnant and you're in that third trimester, you've got this Volkswagen in front of you. And it pokes into the wall. Now, again, Jackie, last time with John, she gained 85 pounds. With Maggie, she didn't gain much because she learned her lesson. Because she thought it was the first time in her life, I can eat what I want. And it backfired. But the last time she went to the doctor, she said, if this thing goes over 200 pounds, I'm killing everybody in the room. And the nurse started yelling, get off the scale, get off scale, get off scale. Yes. And she just wrote 195 down.
So a buddy of mine, his wife were pregnant. And towards the end, she started to get like that as well.
Yeah.
And whenever she would get on the scale, he would slip and put a foot in between hers just to weigh it down a little bit more.
That's just cruel and mean.
No, that's mean. That's
and at some point, you get so big, some women get so big, they don't, the maternity is shirts, when they're sitting on the ground, they look like a beanbag. It's like, oh, and they just start crying. They'll be like folding clothes on the ground in their maternity shirts.
Yeah.
And they look like a beanbag. And then they'll just start crying. And you're like, I'm powerless here. Okay, so we talk about college degrees all the time.
Here's a shocker. I don't have one.
Correct. That was an age 30 years ago when you were going into the workforce, 30-something years ago, where it wasn't a mandatory that you had a college degree. Sometime between then and now, stupid companies went to, you got to have a college degree to do this job? Are you serious?
Oh, it was like that with this company. I took a hiatus from on air. I was on the air with Rocky and Troy and WQMF for years and years. Then you and I did a morning show. And then I was retired from on the air for many years when I went back in sales. It's by the grace of God that I had that job because I said, look, I can't make $17.5 a year. Can I start selling radio on top of that? I didn't know my death warrant was already signed. But my point is, in order to sell advertising, at the time for this company, you had to have a college degree.
Idiots.
I did not. My very first year,
yeah,
I won the President's Club, and that's I beat every single salesperson out there that had a degree.
Yeah. So here are the most regrettable college majors. I will be very frank and honest with you. I do not go down to Western Kentucky and talk to the journalism school kids anymore. I do not, because I refuse to lie to them. There are no jobs. If you're doing journalism and communications and broadcasting, you're wasting your money. Something else.
The only way I would ever talk to a broadcast class would be to be a cautionary tale and tell them what my salary is now.
Well,
and what it was when I started 30 years ago.
I don't mind that. Look, you don't do this for the money. You do this because you love the job.
Right.
So I would not, if there were a ton of jobs, I would go down there and say, here's the job and here's what, you're not going to get rich, but here's the deal, yada, yada. But I'm not going down there anymore and telling these kids, journalism is number one on this list. Most regretted college major, 87%. Of those surveys that have a journalism degree regret getting that as their major.
Where is a virologist on that scale?
Medical and clinical assisting is 60% regret it. Here's the alarming number you could see with what I walked away from this survey. Is that half of the people with any degree regret going to college. So sociology is number three or two at 72%. 72% of the people they have a sociology degree regret it. Liberal arts, general studies.
I don't even know what that is.
Liberal 72. I think my wife has that in the English degree. She has dual, I think. 72% regret. 72%.
Wow.
Communication, 64%. Education, 61%. Marketing, management, and research, 60%. Regret getting that degree. Medical clinical assisting, 58%. Political science, government, 56%. Biology.
That's the one with the frog, right?
That is with...
That's what I thought.
52%. English language literature, 52%. Regret those as a degree. Look.
What was one again?
Journalism.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the happiest.
Okay.
The most satisfied is still in the 40-something percent regret, but happy 60%. Here we go. Human resource management, number 10. Construction trades, 9. Psychology, helping people, sitting there listening to their problems. Bartender.
Wait a minute. Construction trades? Don't you just show up, you get hired on the site, and you start off?
No. See, sweetie, there's people that have to design the building and then make sure the building is built to the designs of the architect.
I thought they'd be engineering.
And then you and I have a hard hat, and we're raking gravel.
I don't even get to do that. I go get lunch and clean out the porta potties.
Yeah. Psychology is 8. That's just helping people. 7 is finance. This is the happiest satisfied with their degrees.
Finance, that kind of blows my mind. It seems like that would be miserable.
Oh, dude, people that are into money and numbers, they love it. Business administration and management is 6. Number 5 is healthcare. 4 is nursing. 3, engineering. Because most of the time you get out of it with a computer engineering or aerospace or whatever degree. It starts in the 6 figures.
Wow.
Number 2 is criminology. That seems...
Is that like the CSI guy?
Yes.
Show me times 10.
Yes. So I don't know. I guess you would work for cities. I guess you would work for the city.
Is that where like you say something really clever, like if someone's been murdered by a blender and you go, looks like this person has been all mixed up. And it goes to commercial?
Yeah, that's exactly
okay.
Right. Number 1 is the happiest is computer and information sciences.
That's number 1?
It's number 1 because computer sciences is now, I mean, you could work in 1,000 different jobs to do that.
I'm a scientist.
And kids grow up now on the computer.
Of
so they just transition right into that, and they're apparently very happy at it.
You know what I was thinking about this morning when I was eating my breakfast? I looked at my phone. I was multitasking the computer, email, and I thought, you know what? When we didn't have these cell phones, I would actually get bored. I never get bored. I'm never bored. But I kind of miss being bored. And I go back to like the 70s and 80s when you weren't around anybody. It's like we're too connected, you know?
Well, there's not time. like people need believe they need to be entertained all the time, right? And when you have children, there's an important thing, one of the most important things the doctor, I can't remember who told us this, and it's very important. You make sure that even if they can't sleep, they lay in bed for 45 minutes or a half hour. Humans should do it, too, because you are absorbing your day and you're starting to put in categories of how your day went and how and what those means to you. Right. So you have to have that downtime with no computer, no tablet, no phone.
That's our hot tub time.
Yeah. So
seriously,
we're,
it is.
Yeah. Right. So then you're calm and you the kids and adults need to have that half hour time where your eyes are closed, you're laying in bed, and you're sort of absorbing everything that happened today and putting them in their place. Now the problem with that is some people take it in a dark direction of start to worry about stuff that happened that day, which you can't control. I'm pointing at somebody in the studio right now.
Yeah, whoever could it be?
Yeah, I can't either. All right. I'm trying to look at who we got here. E-Juve.
E-Juve, listen. Hey, CEOs, business owners, do you sell your product on the internet? Of course you do. If you deal in e-commerce, let E-Juve, E-J-O-O-V, let them take that off your plate. E-Juve, they are your warehouse. E-Juve does all of the shipping, and they're the best of the best. You won't regret it. Start concentrating on growing your business, growing your clients, and growing those profits. Let E-Juve take care of all of your e-commerce, and let them take care of your warehouse. It's what they do. And they're not going to charge you a long, lengthy contract. No, they want to go month to month. Why? Because E-Juve wants to earn your business, and they will. It's fourth quarter. Get your ship together and start shipping with E-Juve, E-J-O-O-V.